Yeah, say
something. I swear to God, if I hear another child born after the year 2010 say brah or bruh, I'm going to fucking kill somebody.
Bruh.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Is it okay for us to say it?
I mean, sure, but like, also, I don't want it to be one of those things where like, haha, we're saying it ironically, and then it's actually just how the fuck we talk now. But like, David Rice said this to me like twice. He didn't hear what I said, and so he said, "What'd you call me?" And that was in 2004, and that is how I've referred to "I didn't hear what you said" the entire time for my whole life since that turning point of speech. I've said, "What'd you call me?" when I didn't hear what someone said. And I don't want bra to be involved in my life anymore, because I was watching my five-year-old's, soon-to-be six-year-old, his older brother, that's not actually mine, was over, and he was playing Fortnite with his friends, and he said bra like a comma. Like, every other third word was bra. Bra, you're just using a machine, bra, like your machine gun, bra, like it's just, you're just camping, bra, you're a camper, bra. Which I, of course, had to explain to him that, like, camping has been around since infinity, and that's just how you play the game. Yes. Get good.
Yeah, you cannot complain about camping. Nope. That's how fucking war actually works.
That's what, yeah. Complain about screen sniping. Then you know you're playing a real fucking game.
Yeah. Bra, like, I don't think anyone from our generation can't say bra ironically, unless they're just like from the West Coast and work out all day and serve.
Sure.
Well, also, I can't remember what I was listening to the other day, but it was a podcast, and they were talking about how different, like, the United States is so big, like, basically different cultures within the U.S.
Yeah, 100%.
And how different cultures, like, one culture may say bra, the other culture says bruh.
Yes.
You know, so you have bruh, you know.
It regional dialects?
Yeah.
Cool. I've always thought this, right? Especially when it comes to things like music and popular trends, that, like, where we live is roughly 10 years behind the cool parts of the country. Yeah. Like, music, especially, like, Nirvana was probably, like, 5 years.
Oh, yeah, easily.
Popular before we got it, you know?
Yeah.
Things like that. So.
I concur.
I don't want that.
Our podcast is just going to be us doing sound checks from now on.
Oh my God, that'd be great! Just
all right, we should say a few more things.
Okay.
I heard. I may have told you guys this last time. I don't remember. I told the Germans that I worked with. Did I tell you guys what the sign language is for Nazi?
No.
Yes.
I did. So you can't see it at home, but you take two fingers and you put it under your nose, like a mustache, and then you basically hold your hand up like you're doing the Hitler salute. I mean, that's Nazi.
Pick it up. Ska band. Horns. Toot, 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 toot.
14-year-olds hear whenever they get an order of cheese sticks coming to their table in their head.
Oh, my God.
I don't get it.
It's just that bright, bup, 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 bup. It's just excitement.
Have you never seen someone see their food coming and get way too fucking excited?
Like a 13-year-old? Yeah, like who really loves cheese sticks.
Uh-huh.
We're three friends that love to get a good buzz and talk about our favorite books and comic books. This is Inebriated Analysis.
Yeah,
we are drinking a blue cocktail to go with one of Mark's favorite books. What is it, Mark?
So, it's Animorphs. Everybody knows this. If you're listening to this podcast for the first time, hi, I'm Mark. I'm a nerd. And see if you can figure out which Animorph that I associate with now. But we're in Animorphs Invasion number one. This is the Escaffold drink, because that's actually the name of the Morphin Cube, which you guys don't know yet, but I know because I know too goddamn much about this series.
I did enjoy the series enough that I have downloaded the next two volumes, well, purchased the next two volumes in digital format.
Of the comic? Yeah. Were these novels to begin with?
I mean, we'll use the word novel, sure, but like...
Lightly.
Very, yeah. These were like targeted at like 10-year-olds, and they're probably 150 pages, big type. Like, yeah. But yes, they were originally a Scholastic book a month kind of situation.
How did you prefer it, having read both?
Well, so I noticed there were a few things cut out of this, and I think it was good because these books were written like in the late 90s, early or like mid to late 90s. And so there's a lot of corniness, and there's definitely, you know, the original authors worked with Chris Grimes, excuse me, to put this in a comic book form. And I think Chris Grimes made some editorial stuff with the script, because there was a little awkwardness that even I felt as a child, because the middle-aged female writer and the white writer and the middle-aged white male writer writing like a young African-American girl and a young Latino boy was awkward and weird and felt like uncomfortable. But like in a like a 90s liberal kind of way where it's like, no, we don't see color. We're colorblind kind of bullshit. So that seems that awkwardness seems to have been cleaned up in this book, I think, in this version of the book. We're reading the graphic novel, actually. I didn't get a chance to read the first book again in preparation for this because I don't need to, because I know everything that's in that first book. I'm not a huge fan of the art because I don't think there's a clear enough distinction in this book between Tobias and Rachel.
Yeah, I was going to say something about the art.
Yeah, I didn't care for it either.
But first, I want to talk about our drink. We just skipped over that.
I'm sorry. Stan.
You set me up for like, hey, this thing that you love, do you want to talk about it?
No, you're right.
You
want to
see a grown man with undiagnosed ADHD fucking info dump on you? Let's go.
Yeah, that's on me. So we'll just roll it back a second, put a pin in the artwork, because I had thoughts on that too. So we have a cocktail that we have made. We have decided that we don't have the correct mixers with it. It is the base is Hypnotic. It's supposed to be equal parts Hypnotic and Moscato wine, and then with a splash of ginger ale at the end. And we have Canada Dry ginger ale, but this needs to be one of those bougie ginger ales that really knocks your teeth out with the ginger, like that spicy ginger ale. That's what this drink needs to really, you know, set it off. So I added some Angostura bitters to it just to try to round it out a little bit more. I think it tastes good. It's got a nice blue color.
It helped. I noticed a big difference with the bitters.
So yeah, if you want to try this, it's Hypnotic, which was very popular, you know, 20 years ago.
Jesus Christ. If you've drank Azima before, you've also had Hypnotic.
Yeah. Any Moscato, pick your Moscato and then ginger ale, but get a ginger ale with some body to it. So with the artwork, it wasn't just the two characters. There was multiple characters that if they were in the same panel or in a preceding panel, mm-hmm. I didn't know if it was the same.
Tobias is the blonde boy. He's the one that gets trapped as a bird morph. Rachel is the girl who's Jake's cousin. I will say that like Jake and Tom looked a whole lot alike, and I understand they're brothers, but like there should have been a clear difference between a 12-year-old boy and like a 17-year-old, like, almost man. But yeah, I think here's what I'll say about the art is I think that this art style, if it matures with the novels, will be good. I'd love it if, because I think they're only on like 6 or 7 out of 54 mainline books. If this artwork continues to mature like the books do, this is a perfect art style for these books. Because when they morph, this book series is fucking wild, guys, because there are scenes in this book or in this book series where it's like, hey, man, I didn't make a basketball team. That sucks. Also, we're fighting space bugs. That's weird. And then they morph into like an insect. And the description of like their skin like peeling into their body and then the chitinous scale. And so like everyone has a different level of morph and anybody but Casey can't really. Cassie. I've been calling this bitch Casey for 30 years. I know her name is Cassie. That's not how Casey spelled. Anyway, Cassie's the only one that control how well she morphs. But, like, they'll be morphing into, like, a cockroach, and someone will have giant cockroach eyes and everything else is fucking normal on their body. Or they'll have just cockroach skin and antenna and everything else. And the descriptions are fucking, like, H.R. Giger horrifying.
Cool.
I think this art style would reflect that really well when the morphs go fucking horribly wrong.
Yeah.
There weren't a lot of bad morphs in this one, I think.
No, in the second volume, which I just started, it does have some, because there's a scene where
All four of them are birds, and they're flying around doing reconnaissance, and they get back to the house, and they all start changing, and three of them just look ugly as fuck. And then one of the girls, like, she looks all graceful and shit, like her arms are the wings and the rest of her body's normal. And they make a comment like, you know, how can we look like, I don't know what they say, but basically, how can we look like pieces of shit? And she looks really good when we change. And she's
that
like,
is, that
I'm
is
just
Cassie's,
better at it than
you. That's Cassie's black girl magic that she has in this. She also like talks to whales and shit later on. Like, this book series gets fucking crazy. There is a scene at the beginning of the third one, like the very beginning of the third one, where they turn into wolves. They're going to do some reconnaissance in the woods, right? And they stay in morph for like 1 hour and 59 minutes and 30 seconds because Tobias was supposed to be watching the clock and he didn't. Or he no what happened when he found a different pack of wolves. He lost them and found another real wolf pack. And so when he finds them, he's like, get the fuck out of morph now. And they are having trouble morphing back. And there's a scene that's described that I would love to see in panel form where Marco is it's just his fucking face and he doesn't have his throat yet. So he's like screaming in wolf. And he's just like hate fucking Tobias with his eyes because he doesn't want to turn into to what Tobias is. Oh God, this book series is so good. Oh, and I know what happens to all these characters. And so like in certain panels, I was like crying and shit because like I know what's going to happen to these characters. It's so fucking good. It's so fucking weird. And there's also some really shitty books. There's some really shitty books.
It's funny you guys didn't like the character distinction. I hated the backgrounds in this. They were just lazy and incomplete. Like a lot of this just tones.
Yeah. A lot of tones.
Which one?
Just like
plain backgrounds. And I thought I was speculating because it feels like when you read this, it was great. It feels like an 80s, 90s movie, like where kids get in over their heads and they have this great adventure. Yes. It was really fun. I think it would make a great like kids movie.
Don't watch the show. Don't watch the show. Go on.
Okay. But like, you know what I mean? It would make a good big budget, like kids in trouble kind of movie. Like E.T. Mm-hmm. It feels like E.T. kind of like kids doing things on their own and trying to do something. And so I thought maybe that's how screenplays are written. They don't flesh out the backgrounds on, they just try to give the director and everyone a direction. So I thought maybe this was originally illustrated maybe to promote a screenplay for a movie or something. I don't know.
I don't know why this came up. I found out about this graphic novel about a year or two ago because I listened to, during the pandemic, I found a podcast that did an in-depth review of the entire series, and I loved it. It's called Animorphing Time. If you want to go and like listen to someone, two people rather, go through all the books and find out what they think about them. Spoilers, they're far more liberal than I am, which is weird to say. Like, fucking get it. Oh yeah, fucking get it. They helped radicalize me during the pandemic. But so it's interesting that you say that this would make an interesting kids movie, and that you identify it, like you associate it with E.T. Like that was your go-to example. This book series is fucked up. There's straight up war crimes that happen in this fucking book. Like the beginning of this book does have that feeling. And even when Prince Elfengor gets killed at the very beginning by Visser III, like it's not, I don't remember exactly how it was in the book, but it feels like it was very much an off-screen death. Like the kids watched it happen.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, but it doesn't really matter. This book has it a little bit, but every book that was originally written was always a character's point of view. So the first book was Jake's point of view. And the way it worked was the first book and the sixth book was always Jake's point of view. Second and seventh was Rachel's. And then the third and eighth, you know, books ending in 3 and 8 were a non-human member of the team. 4 and 9 were Cassie, and 5 and 10s or zeros were Marco. And so this was from Jake's point of view. And so in Jake books, you get like a very like bland milk toast white guy description of things because it's in his voice. Like they write Jake very well because as it turns out, they 50% of them are white males. And so they were white male teenagers growing up. So they know how they think. But at the end of this book, there's a bitch that just gets hit with a fireball and burns to death on the back of Cassie as she's riding out of this. So I think that like, it does give that feeling of this is a cool little kids thing. And layered in that is like some fucked up horrible shit that kids should never, like, I should not have read this fucking book as a child.
Oh, that's like, I feel like that's what made the best 80s and 90s is they blurred those kind of kids. The best kids movies are the ones where like, oh shit, we really are in over our heads. It's not just a fun adventure, you know, it's not, we're not just Shazam and we have magic powers and we're going to punch our way out of this. Like when Lost people Boys. Start, when people start dying. Yeah. Like Lost Boys, like shit like that. Yeah. You're like, oh, like, I don't know, as a kid, that resonates so much more deeply with you.
I agree. I think that, like, if Lost Boys, but if Kiefer Sutherland would have ripped someone's head off and drank from their throat.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, or, that's what this book is.
Or Stand By Me.
Stand By Me, but, like, we see the kid get hit by the train.
Yeah.
Or see the body get hit by the train.
Yeah.
This book, God, I love this series so much. I could just talk. If we ever need a filler episode, I will just talk for 1 hour and a minute on every episode.
I think, like, I did not know where this was going when I knew you were excited about it, and I was like, I hope I don't hate this.
Me too, dude. I was fucking worried as shit. I had flashbacks to Percy Jackson.
Yeah.
Like, if put yourself in the book, you, what's the first animal that you go to bond with? And then what's the, what, like, let me try to phrase this right. Like, the first animal that you know that you can get to. And then, like, what's the first one that you seek out? Like, you may have to go to a zoo. Like you're going to have to go hunt for it. Like, so what's your go-to right away that you can find? And then what's your, I'm going to go search for it kind of animal?
Don't worry. I know that if you read the Animorphs as a child, you know this answer already. So don't look at
me. See, I did not. So
I know you didn't. Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, well, I don't have to think about this.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I don't know. I mean, obviously, I have a dog, so that's one I would. If I needed to,
I think I would go with my dog or the first animal I see. Honestly, like if I learned that I can,
you have
do
to
this,
grab the animal.
Well, right, but if it's
if you see a fly first?
Fuck it, I can grab be a
nope,
fly.
Nope, don't do it. That's a fucking trap, bro.
Oh yeah,
holy shit.
There's a story here. Tell us.
I'm not going to tell you the fact. Like if you're really interested in this, even if you don't read the graphic novels, if you find there's like a free PDF of like someone dumped all the books online. If you want to, I'm not going to tell you shit specific to morphs, but like they morph basically every animal you can find in America to some degree. And like some shit goes wrong. Basically, if it's not a mammal, shit's fucked up.
Okay. See, that's, well, I mean,
he turns into a lizard and immediately eats a spider. And that's not like that fucked up. This is
right.
Like, this is dipping your toe in the fucked up shit.
But one thing I thought about too is like they copy that animal's DNA. So like you could touch every dog. So, like, if you know, you could be like, hey, I'm going to touch, you know, a pit bull if I want to be, you know, kind of small but still have some muscle behind me. But if I want to be a big-ass dog, I'm going to go touch a mastiff, you know. And then you could turn into any range of dogs that you wanted to.
I would definitely be looking out for a panther and or a gorilla. Those would be my top two. Well, but I want to fly, so a crow would be a good one.
Like, if you're unless you have a murder, and depending on how – I don't know the like, societal – workings of crows, but I do know they have like a communal.
They're kind of big birds,
but like fucking eagles and shit.
Yeah,
you can be a raven or a hawk or
you fucking red tail hawk. Yeah, red tail hawk all the goddamn. Okay, day.
Yeah,
my first morph would be my dog because that's the nearest, and then the first one I would seek out is a dolphin.
See the
ooh,
first
a dolphin,
fucking dolphin.
See, I think I would go orca. Yeah, I thought about a dolphin as well because like
no, dolphins get eaten by
sure, but like you go and you acquire like you turn into a bird and make your way across the country. To like SeaWorld or where there's a captain.
Dude, be an alpha or like a killer whale. You would not have to worry about anything in the ocean.
Dolphins have so much fucking fun, dude.
Until they get eaten by a killer whale.
So just go out and kill a whale.
No, listen, that's why you do both. So like you're a dolphin and you're like, oh shit, a killer whale's coming. You change.
But you have to demorph to acquire. So you'd have to like jump up in the air as a dolphin, demorph, land on the killer whale, put it to sleep. And one thing that comes up later is morphing actually requires energy. Like it burns you out. And so if you do a bunch of rapid morphs, like you get real fucking tired real fast.
One thing I would definitely be going to a pet store. Like I'm going to touch every single lizard and gerbil and hamster. Like that's just
you guys are worried.
Like, you are just posing as like, wouldn't it be fucking cool if you could do this? Are you like acquiring these? Are these guns? Are these unserialized animals that you want to turn into?
Absolutely.
But you guys were just giving on to me about being a crow. Gerbils, snake bait right there.
I can also go into, like, why would you touch a grasshopper? But, like, I'm trying to figure out why the fuck Shane is trying to acquire every dog. Like, I think you get the basic, underlying dog experience from just dog.
Because if you're trying to infiltrate somewhere and you're spying on people and they see the same dog every single day, what if they get suspicious? Now you can change dogs.
That's true.
Also, spoilers. Once animals start showing up and killing controllers, they're just suspicious of all animals.
Hmm.
They just start shooting fucking birds all the goddamn time. Yeah, there's a lot of murder.
Oh, what, did you? So you said dolphin. What was in your dog? Okay.
Yeah, Nissa is just right there, and so I can just turn into Nissa and figure out why the fuck she keeps chewing Legos.
People are mammals. Can you turn it into other people?
Ooh,
you can. That is, they actually called it out that it is they deem it highly unethical, and I think they only do it like 3 or 4 times in the whole book series.
Dude, I would love to be a woman. Just to, like, feel it, what all it's right. like to be
Put
a woman.
Put it down. I feel like we all knew that was coming. Like once Shane was like, "Can you turn into a person?" We all knew that was coming.
Oh.
It's funny that my mind didn't go there this time.
It was me.
Normally it'd be me saying some shit like that.
Oh, jeez.
Shane's just like, I just want to turn into someone who's like an inch taller than me and could just get like 10 more reps on the fucking bar. just a little bit more.
Like,
so I just want to turn into Eddie Hall, see what it's like to do the 1,000-pound deadlift.
I think like in Harry Potter, when they all do the
Polyjuice
potion, I think it would have been great if one of them, just one of them, would have looked down in his pants and went, "Jesus Christ, Harry, you're hung."
So that is a really like kind of that's kind of interesting, like not necessarily Polyjuice potion, but like in a world of magic, and it's a funny conversation to have because of who the bitch is that wrote it. But in a world of magic, I wonder if you can switch identities like that, like permanently switch your identity.
Yeah,
that would, I'm sure that she never touched on it, but that would be an interesting way. Obviously not Polyjuice potion, because that would be like, again, unethical, because you'd be taking someone else's body or appearance. But that's interesting. Yeah. So they don't morph humans. They try not to morph sentient beings, if at all possible.
Hmm.
They don't really get a hold of, I don't think they get a hold of any alien species without consent to morph into. Because also, like, if they can grab a Hork-Bajir and just turn into a Hork-Bajir all the fucking time, way better than a fucking elephant or whatever. But
I did like, in my opinion, like, one of the scariest scenarios is Body Snatcher, kind of.
Yeah.
And so that's cool. Like, it just combined a lot of things that I like. The kids being the protagonist, mm-hmm. the scary part being the body snatchers. Like, it's a really cool combination of all kinds of
You don't know who you can
genres.
Trust kind
yeah.
of shit. They do have that built-in, like, 3-day weakness to help identify people, because, like, you kind of have to. Like, you have to build in a weakness or whatever. I don't know. I just can't. Like I said, there's some really shitty books. There are literally 2 different books that I can think of off the top of my head where nothing happens. Like, the whole point of the book is this doesn't matter. And there are no after effects of it whatsoever. It's just the effect, I think, of having to have a book come out every month.
So just a filler episode.
Like Wheel of Time, basically.
But like the best fucking books are fucking bangers. They're so good. Yes, please don't look up the show. This show is so fucking bad. It's so bad. And it had like that early 90s, like early 2000s, late 90s, like fucking kind of pop. Like where all the cartoons from the 90s hit so fucking hard with their intros, and then there's like this smooth jazz transition into like a jazzy pop song. The fucking intro is bad. Just from the onset, it's bad. And it was like a Canadian television production.
Oh man, we should have watched it. It sounds
so
great.
Bad, dude. No.
When did it come out?
I vaguely remember
it. To answer that exact question, I believe Alex Mack was a lead in. I know you don't know what Alex Mack is based on that look on your face. I think probably like 97, 98, somewhere there.
So, because
they had Animorphs toys in like a one of the fast food places to promote the show, and then they had Animorphs toys in like big box stores that were just Beast Wars Transformers, but with different faces. Instead of a robot face, it was like Cassie's face. I was like, I don't remember reading in the book when Cassie turned into a fucking cheetah. But no, it was just I want to say like late 90s, 97, 98, something like that.
Okay, because I feel like this is something that would do really well in a live action now. Like if the people who did Stranger Things or
that's the thing is know. Like who is the target market is people who's already read the book, because like I was saying, I think that all of the not Yerk stuff is like kid high school shit, and all of the Yerk shit is fucking terrifying. And so I think that's why the show didn't work, and because like also the morphing, they did that weird effect where like I'm gonna morph into a tiger. and then weird amorphous blob that's just silver CGI, and then real life tiger on a green screen. So it's real fucking bad. I remember the guy that plays Jake is the guy who plays Iceman in X-Men, like the first X-Men.
Yeah.
I don't remember his name.
Yeah, he was in Smallville as well. He's a villain in Smallville. He was one of the reoccurring.
He channeled all his Animorphs acting into that villain role, I'm sure. I don't like Jake. He's a douchebag.
Which one's Jake?
Jake is the leader. Do you want to know why he's the leader? Because he's the white guy.
He's one with a brother?
Yeah.
Okay. I like that. My thing is, like, they introduce themselves, dude, by the third, fourth page. Like, I don't remember who's anybody.
And that's fine. Is. After the fifth book, you know exactly every character. Like, that's book wise, you know, so not the graphic novel, but once every character has a book, you get their deal, you understand who they are.
Yeah, I think a novel is easier because, like, you're reading a book, you're going to hear their name more often or read their name more often, I think. Whereas with the graphic novel, they tend to use, they use less words. So they're probably going to leave the person's name out. You know, they're going to say it here and there, but not as much as a novel. I mean, I enjoyed it well enough that I'm reading the second volume, and I have the third one ready to go after that.
Yeah, I would like to read it. I might borrow it from you.
I mean, well, the volume 2 and 3 are on my Kindle. Actually bought those.
Yeah, fuck you. So.
Or, again, like, you can listen to the Anorphantine podcast. They review all the books. It's very good. Or you could just find the giant PDF that someone uploaded on the internet that has all 54 books, all 4 Megamorphs books, all 4 Chronicles, and both of the Choose Your Own Adventure Animorphs books. Or you just ask me and I can tell you everything that fucking happens in the whole series. This is one of those things where, like, I want to keep doing it, but like, I feel like that's a disservice to everything else we need to read.
How long does it carry? Do you see them become adults, like, in the series at some point? Are they then 18, 19, 20, or is it pretty much stay like in the last year or two of high school?
They are pretty nebulous about ages and time frames. I think they knew where the book series was going, but they didn't know how long it was going to take to get there. Mm. And so I want to say by the end of the war that they're 17, but you don't find out their name. Like, I don't know if you find out everybody's name, but you don't find out Jake's name until, like, the last book or the next to last book. Like, they hold on to that shit and that whole, like, oh, I can't tell you who I am. They can find this kind of shit. So spoilers, eventually everything gets found out. Like, it's a secret war book. So yes, eventually the secret gets out. But
So Jake is the narrator then.
Jake is the narrator of the first book and this one we read. And he's the leader. And he's, after a certain while, they break with the, you know, everyone having their book in a specific order, sequential order, just because of the needs of the book. But like, there's, oh my God, there's so much shit that happens. I want to tell you guys so much. It's so good.
Do they ever change into an animal and then bone another animal?
No, the books written for, like, pre-teenagers.
That's what
don't
I
don't have a lot of fucking in them.
Well, hey, furry fucking.
Strangely enough, they have a gay relationship, or like what is alluded to as a gay relationship. I don't like the way they do it.
Like gay animals or gay people?
So there is.
They both turn into dolphins.
There is an issue.
Otters. I hear otters are pretty.
There is a book where they find 2 Andalites that have been, like, hiding on Earth. And one of them had his tail blade removed. Because they've got, like, you don't get to see it very much with Prince Elvengor, but Andalites are centaurs with, like, real frail, like, elf-like human bodies.
Yeah.
7 fingers, like an almond-shaped, upside-down almond-shaped head, slits for nose, kind of like Voldemort. They have eye stalks, and then they have this, like, scorpion tail. Right? In this episode, or this book, 2 Andalite princes are... Prince is just like captain. It's just a rank in the military. But they're on Earth, and they've been hiding out from the battle that took place above at the beginning of this book. And one of them had to have their tail blade cut off. And that is like a sign of disgrace in Andalite society. So this disgraced Andalite that can't face society is living with this other Andalite who's perfectly fine and taking care of them, and it's clear that there's like a relationship that's more than just friends. And so it's very much the way I read into it was very much, hey, being gay is really not that big of a deal, but like sometimes you just have to live in the middle of nowhere and not let anybody know that you're there.
Yeah.
So again, it's like that 90s white people liberal shit where it's like, listen, everybody can do whatever they want over there. So
that's interesting too, because they can morph, so they could like grow their tail back.
And yeah, there's some plot holes with that where like there's definitely times where they're in a battle morph, like their tiger morph or elephant morph or whatever. They get injured in that morph. Like there's some vicious ass fucking battles where one of them, like Marco as a gorilla, gets his is holding his guts in. He gets sliced by a Hork-Bajir, and he's holding his fucking guts in during the battle. And he has to morph out of his gorilla morph. And when he morphs back to his human form, he's fine. But they don't address the fact that, like, if you have a broken arm, can you morph into a gorilla and then morph back in your arm's not broken?
Yeah.
But they also kind of do address it, because around book 30, 35... they decide they need to have more people helping with this war, which again, this is super fucked up. This is very ableist bullshit. But they go to like a children's hospital, and they're like, okay, we need to find people that can help us. We need to find people that definitely will never get Yurks, and the Yurks will never infest bodies of children that are handicapped. And so they go recruit a bunch of handicapped kids to be fucking like warriors in a galactic battle where, like, again, guts out of your body. And some of the kids, when they like, they frame it, it's so fucking ableist. When they frame it, like, there's a kid who's like nonverbal, and when he turns into a bird, he won't shut the fuck up because it's not that he's not verbal, he can't talk. But when he can talk with his mind, he just talks all the fucking time because he has so much to say. And
that's cool.
It's cool, but then, like, I don't know. It's like it's very much othering those kids, and it feels icky for me to read. Everybody takes it how you read it, and maybe I'm describing it really cool because I'm an awesome narrator. But there are a couple of kids who they have vaguely nondescript diseases or vaguely nondescript reasons as to why they're in this children's hospital, and they are healed when they morph back. Which again doesn't really like to the reason you asked this question: why the fuck didn't that Andalite prince just morph and then morph back into his normal body with his tail?
Yeah.
What happens if you had this is something I thought about a lot as a kid. What if your parents were good parents and you had fucked up teeth and you got braces? And then you morph back. Do you morph back to the pre-fucked up braces teeth?
I don't know, because there's no genetics that tell you where your teeth are supposed to be.
But maybe there are. That's the thing.
Well, I guess in a way there are, but they've proven that like part of the reason we have crowded teeth is because we don't eat hard food like we used to. And that used to expand the bones on the top of our mouth and push our teeth out.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Also, like, to kind of talk about what you're saying, like, if you can control the arrangement of your atoms or whatever they are, you're on some kind of molecular scale, you're changing your, why couldn't you just, like, make yourself half gorilla and half whatever, you know what I mean? Start morphing into several animals at once, or, like, just grow your arm back if you're an amputee, you know, like, you're literally just.
So that's, they do some of that. They do, I don't care. I'm so excited.
I'm having Full Metal Alchemist thoughts, but you still need to watch that show, because this is how you end up with a little girl dog.
This is not at all how you end up with... That's shitty parenting. So, to answer your question twice, and maybe a little bit of Shane's from earlier. So, in the fourth book, they find Prince Elfengor's brother at the bottom of the ocean. He's stuck in the big, like, mothership. And so they go down and save him, and when he comes back out, he's like, I'm an Andalite. I can't walk around like this. That's crazy. And so what he does is he asks permission, but he takes DNA from all four of the human Animorphs and then blends them together.
That's so cool.
Into one, like, human. And they, again, like, maybe ahead of its time, and maybe it wasn't even intended, but they're like, well, what are you? And he's like, well, I am a male, so I am a male. Like, they didn't even look at his dick and be like, oh, but I'm a dude, yeah. He was like, I identify. He didn't say identify, but he was like, I am a male because that is what I am. But yeah, he blends that together. But the second point is, again, Cassie with Black Girl Magic, in one of the books, has to be in, like, three different morphs at one time, which is not supposed to be possible based on, like, the science. But she's, like, flying as a bird and has to then, in midair, transform into a whale. to like fall and break this strategic point, and is somehow able to morph all but the wings. And as the as she's growing as a whale, the wings grow as a whale. And so like they don't work because fucking whale, but they do work enough to slow her descent down so she can get into position at the right time. So like they do fuck with that, but it's I think it's one of those situations where like, it takes a lot of concentration.
Right, yeah. It would be kind of cool. Like,
very exhausting.
Like if it was like a leveling up kind of thing. Yeah. Like if you've morphed 100,000 times, like now like you're the prince, yeah, you can start combining DNA.
Like half tiger, half gorilla sounds fucking badass.
Yeah, oh yeah, hell yeah. Half tiger, half eagle, you know? That shit would be awesome.
Goddamn, dude, that's the most American morph that's ever.
I know, fuck yeah.
That is spray painted on the side of someone's van right now.
With a,
it's like Rule 34, but for like nerds with neckbeards.
Yeah. With a fully automatic weapon.
Two automatic weapons and like a trump. What else can I spoil? I love this book series so much.
I'm just trying to think.
God is in the seventh book.
God?
God. Just a god. they just introduce a god. Like, turns out to just be a weird fucking alien with like superpowers. It's just a god.
Nice.
Yeah. And then they also introduce a Satan. In the sixth book, Jake gets yurked.
What is yurked?
So the yurks are the thing.
So when a friend really likes you.
Oh.
The yurks are the bad guys. Right, and so right. I just verbalized, like turned it into a verb. So Jake gets yurked. And they figure it out. And so they're like, well, the only way to get this yurk out is to hold Jake hostage for 3 fucking days while another sentient being that's wrapped around his brain slowly dies.
That's awesome.
So he just goes fucking insane in Jake's head. And you know what yurk it was? You don't, but I do. It was the yurk.
No, don't tell us. Don't tell us that.
Okay.
That
sounds all right, like cool. I'll save that. That's a little nugget for you. Yeah, that's a little surprise.
I want to guess that it was the one in his brother.
It was 100%. Like, of course it was. Like, that's the only yurk we know at this point, right?
Fine.
I'm sorry. There's so much more. No, there's so much more, TJ.
It's okay. I love you.
There's so much more.
On a show where we constantly spoil books,
I'll spoil a whole
fucking... that he got spoiled.
That's the thing. Is like, I'll spoil the whole fucking series.
I do not like spoilers. I feel guilty every time we spoil something. I think about editing it down when I'm editing the podcast. I'm like, can I edit this and not disrupt the continuity of our
jokes? I mean, that's
jokes.
We do say spoiler. So like, whenever we say spoiler,
that's true. I usually leave it. I usually leave it. But
also, we typically don't spoil things that are like
right. This
at
is
least
old.
10 years old. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it's so good. I'm vibrating. So
that's that new Amazon toy that you said.
That's right. It's a remote controlled butt plug. And actually, it's not remote controlled. I have to manually crank it.
That seems awkward to reach around and crank. Can you at least control your phone or something?
I mean, I could, but like, no, I want to do it old school. I want to do it like my forefathers. I don't know what else to say. Like, I don't know how
this goes like this every time we like something.
Anytime,
we're like, we power
like,
through
I just
it.
Want to keep talking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, anytime like, all three of us like something, it goes really easy. That's why, like, as much as Mark doesn't want to read it, we have to throw another Highline book just so we can argue
no,
about
we
it.
No, we don't.
Yeah.
I assure you, we don't.
I think, that what you were saying about Stranger Things, this would make a fun Stranger Things kind of show. If it could get
like,
that kind of budget.
If we took it as, like, if it was taken as, like, this is not for children. Like, this is
you can blend it. You can blend it.
Like, Stranger Things is not for children. And I would say that that's the level of, because it's the innocent kids playing D&D. And then, like,
my kids loved Stranger Things. Okay. Like, they didn't have any problems with it.
I would like to point out
that
it would
be a TV-14 show,
exactly.
Probably.
Yeah, your kids are not kids.
Well, they were kids when Stranger Things came out.
They were well-adjusted kids that were homeschooled and spent more time with adults.
How old's the show now?
I don't know, but that's why I don't know the answer.
You got
a
computer.
It came out like 2016.
What, Stranger Things?
Like 7 years ago?
Yeah. So my kids were still kids.
Yeah, they were. Fuck. Is Stranger Things...
2016.
2016. Yeah.
So my daughter is getting ready to go to college this
Stranger
year.
Stranger Things is 2
so,
years older
so
than my
So your daughter would have been about 11,
yeah.
10 or 11.
Yeah, so it's a good
you're
age.
You're a shitty parent. You want to watch 11
years. It was fun.
It was.
But again, homeschool
kids. I think
kids,
the most recent
like
season of Stranger Things is way
That's true.
Scarier.
That would be harder yeah. for... Yeah, I wouldn't like watch that and be like, oh, my kids need to watch that.
Yeah.
The first season's more fun, E.T. kind
of. Speaking of shows that are on streaming, I did start watching Invincible after you guys...
Yes.
Recommended it last time.
What did you think after the credits of the first episode and the after credit scene?
Well, I haven't watched the new season yet.
No, I just started.
Oh, you just started.
Never seen it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's been a week.
So technically, potential spoilers for Invincible.
Remind me.
That's
what,
where Omni-Man goes, like, bad guy.
Yeah.
So what did you think of, like, again, the first episode is meh, and then after the credits, that happens. You're like, holy shit. What did you think after that happened?
Like, it was badass. Okay. Like, but like, it also, like, kind of confusion. Like, this guy seemed like he was a hero. So yeah. It's like, I don't know what's like.
Yeah, you're like, what the fuck, like, is going on?
Being, like, controlled by somebody? Yeah. Or is he really a bad guy? And now I'm getting ready to watch a whole series where this guy's going to try to groom his son to be a bad guy with him. And so.
Yeah. How far have you gotten?
They just sent the demon to hell.
Ah. Yeah, I just rewatched it all, which I'm glad I did, because I wanted Diana to watch it because I thought it was so fucking well written. Yes. It is so good, and I don't want to ruin anything. That's hard. I wish you'd watched it all,
I know,
Shane. Right?
Like, I know. I didn't have time.
Like, there, to me, the last episode was super emotional, and my wife isn't a cartoon. Doesn't watch a lot of cartoons. Doesn't watch a lot of comic book stuff. Doesn't like violent things, and we both were tearing up on the last episode. Like, it's just...
It's very violent as well.
Fucking like, well done.
Like, I don't know if the sending him to hell was the actual last... It might have... So, but other things that are happening is, like, that robot is getting people's DNA.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is like, after that first episode, anytime anybody does anything, you're like, what the fuck are they up to?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, they're up to something. Is it good? Is it bad?
Yeah.
Like, I love how many,
it's not red herrings, but just future villains he sets up in the first season that they never address again.
Right.
Like, has he gone to Mars yet?
Yes.
Yeah, like they just introduced those guys. You don't see them the rest of the season. Like, it's just maybe in the future you'll deal with that. I love that shit. That's great.
Yeah, they went to Mars. The twin has just escaped and killed one twin and is now cloning himself again.
Yeah.
The Mahler twin is pretty cool. That's a cool idea for a villain.
Yeah, I didn't think I would like it, like, after watching the first episode, but I went ahead and watched it. Because I didn't like the character designs and everything was so basic, but I realized that's the point, is comic books are basic.
It's supposed to be a generic comic book.
Yeah.
I will say also the first season, not every, it's like Dragon Ball Z, where not every episode is clearly animated by the same team. And so there's different levels of quality for the animation.
Right. Yeah. Well, and the voices are great. Like, I love the fact, you know, like,
J.K. Simmons.
Yes. Yeah.
Susan Ho, I think, is the mom.
Yeah. Clancy Brown.
Man, they just made the characters so relatable, because, like, Diana and the wife and the mother had, like, conversations with her son that I've heard Diana have with her sons. Like, fucking great writing. Like, to take that kind of time and care to put that in a comic book story is fun.
It makes me think of kind of like Archer. Like, Archer's one of those shows I never would have thought Diana would like, because it is really crude.
Yeah.
But, like, Diana loved the show because there were all these literary references that were just really subtle. And if
it's
you hadn't
such
read
a
the book,
fucking joke.
Yeah. If you hadn't, like, there was one I didn't get. Like, we were watching one of the episodes, and Diana is like, oh, that's from this book. I was like, what? Like, oh, I've never read that
book. Your wife's a fucking nerd.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Archer's so, that's why I liked Family Guy originally. Back when, like, it was cool to like Family Guy, is that, like, their jokes, it was like, they were fart jokes, but then they were, like, there was a depth to them as well, and now Family Guy is just fart jokes and try to keep up with The Simpsons, I think. But, yeah, Archer was something I always enjoyed like that. And also, just the fucking character delivery. The voices in Archer are also fucking banging.
They are great.
I want to rewatch it, but I found, as I've gotten older, it's weird. Like, there's some things, like, there's some movies I can rewatch over and over and over again. Like, they're comforting. But some TV series, like, I found this with Archer, with Letterkenny, and a few others. I watch them once. I absolutely love them. I can watch clips of them all day long. But when I try to rewatch the series, I just can't get into it. Like,
that's weird. Archer is one of the few that I can rewatch. But every time, the first four seasons. Yeah. Every time I rewatch the first four seasons, I laugh my ass off.
Is the fifth one where he goes into a coma?
No, that's where they start doing the cocaine and shit.
Yeah.
Drug trafficking.
Gets really skinny. Yeah. And,
I haven't finished that
season. I could see the thing. The difference is, though, I could sit down and watch, like, the three of us could sit down and watch Archer or Letterkenny or whatever, and I could binge watch it with friends.
Yes.
And I would absolutely love it. But watching it by myself, it doesn't hit
like
the same.
Like, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is one of my favorite fucking shows.
I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
And I tried to rewatch it and I couldn't get into it. And then my 15-year-old was like, hey, do you want to watch something? I was like, yeah, well, we try this. You like Andy Samberg? And he fucking fell in love with it. And we just crushed that whole, like, in, like,
yeah,
2-3
my kids
weeks.
Love that show.
It's so weird. Watching it with people,
that
whether
is
or not
different.
They've seen it before, is different.
And I also think, like, it's the sitting. Like, if I'm on the road, I'm by myself, I'm probably a little lonely anyway, and I'm eating dinner and I want to find a show to watch. Like, there's just something about watching a whole series that I've already seen. It's like, do I want to sit through all of this again, or do I want to watch something new? Mm-hmm. But, like, if I was, let's say I was at my parents and flipping through TV, and I, or there's channels, and I found an episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine or Letterkenny or Archer, I would leave it there. Yeah. Like, I would leave it and sit there and watch it, you know, just some random episode. But the idea of trying to watch four seasons of a show that I've seen before, just...
It's like Law and Order.
Yeah.
I've probably seen every single episode of Law and Order, and I've never, ever watched one. Like, they've just been, oh, let's Law and Order. I'll clean the house, I guess. Like, just let Law and Order happen. See what crazy shit Ice-T says this fucking week. Or Ice Cube. Ice-T. It's Ice-T.
Ice-T.
Yeah, fucking different drinks with ice in them. Just having, it's white noise. Especially, like, I think Law and Order specifically for our generation is like, Law and Order is fucking everywhere. It was on every goddamn Turner.
And there's
network.
Like 10 different versions of it, isn't
and
there?
And they each have like 15 fucking seasons.
It's like NCIS.
You could just sustain America on like NCIS and The Simpsons and Family Guy and Law and Order. And that's all the entertainment we'll ever need. That's it.
There's a lifetime of entertainment there. I've not even like begin to watch all of the shows that have gone forever, like South Park and Simpsons. I always think I want to watch more Simpsons and South Park. South Park, you know, every time I think, oh, they've got to be done, there's just something for them to parody again. Like, there's just something that needs to be made fun of, and they kind of latch onto that really well.
Here's the thing. I cannot justify going back and watching The Simpsons or South Park or Family Guy if I complain that I want to watch Doctor Who, but there's too many episodes. I can... That's nonsense.
I want to see the new seasons of Doctor Who.
No, I'm done with Doctor Who. I'm burnt out on Doctor Who.
I want a cute girl to sit next to me and explain Doctor Who and then make out between episodes. That's what I want.
That sounds cool.
I know, right?
But. Well, and the current season that I'm on, it's a cute girl that is Doctor Who. So, like,
is that Jodie Whittaker?
Yeah.
You know, a show that doesn't hit as the same both times, like, and it's not the fault of the show, per se. Is Rick and Morty. Like, the first time I watched Rick and Morty was so fucking dark, and you can only capture that feeling one time.
Also, I think Rick and Morty suffers from the fact that, like, people that like Rick and Morty are douchebags.
Yeah. But, I mean, apart from that...
Every time I watch Rick and Morty, it's like, you know, I'm currently watching something that someone who's going to yell at a McDonald's employee is also watching.
Yeah.
And I don't feel good about that.
It's one of those shows that I watched. It took me a season to, like, start... Fine, like, I watched it, like, I don't know, it's kind of...
Really?
You watched the whole fucking season and, like,
It was, like, the slowest of burn. Like, I watched an episode, it's like, I don't know, this just seems kind of stupid.
Yeah, the pilot episode is slow.
Then I watched it again, and I was like, eh, I don't... But like, it's entertaining, but, like, I still don't, like, the, you know, the fucking Rick is just fucking a douchebag, and then, like, it slowly grew. By the time I hit episode 3, it's like, all right, I'll keep watching it. I would say by episode 5, I was enjoying it.
This is why you've read more than one A Court of Thorn and Roses book, is because you didn't sit there and say these fucking 12 hours are garbage, but I bet hour 13 is fucking hot. Like, that's nonsense.
Like,
if I were to watch 4 episodes of a show and not be into it, then I'm finishing that fucking show.
Oh my
God. 4 episodes, man?
Rick and Morty, like, that first... season hit so hard when his dog takes over and he's like, she's like, where are my testicles, Summer? Like, that fucking line had me hooked. I was like, this is some dark shit. This is awesome. Like, you, that didn't hook you? You were like, what the fuck am I watching now?
I really enjoy, oh God damn it. The show that's on Hulu about aliens. It's just Rick and Morty, but instead of Rick and Morty, it's aliens.
I haven't seen that. Is it, you like that?
I do like it. It's not just Justin Roiland, so I haven't seen the new season of Rick and Morty, but Solar Opposites. I haven't seen the new episode, the new season of Rick and Morty, so I don't know how they handled that transition. But on the transition for Solar Opposites, it's just one character. So like the other characters are actually voiced by different people, so they didn't have to address it. They did address it. They were like, this is what I sound like now. Fuck off. Deal with it. But there is... So it's two... aliens, and they have two kids, and so it's like a family comedy, but like not. And the boy is a douchebag, and he's a sociopath, and he has a shrink ray, And there's a whole episode where anytime anybody upsets him, he just shrinks them. And he puts him in this like giant hamster enclosure. And then at the end of the episode, they pan into the hamster enclosure and you realize there's a lot of people in here and they've started to develop a society. And then periodically there will just be whole ass episodes of this weird fucking society.
That's awesome.
And that is so much more interesting than the rest of the fucking show. It's so fucking good.
Oh, I love the one Rick and Morty kind of like that where they go into the battery. He created a civilization to power his battery. And then
it's very much like that, but like you actually get to, they're human. So like you see the human interactions, but like there's a whole fucking like corrupt church that rises up. But it's also got that weird like the Borrowers vibe where like they're feeding an entire group of people with an M&M, like one M&M, and they're like carving it out. It's so fucking good.
That's great. That makes me want to watch the show.
Side note. So I was trying to Google, before you said the name, I was Google a Hulu alien show.
Yes.
There is a TV show getting made for Hulu set in the Aliens universe. There's an Aliens and Predator.
Yeah.
So they're making a TV show.
I assume we'd be getting more shit after Prey did so well.
But the Alien Predator movies were terrible. So.
Whoa. You mean specifically Alien versus Predator?
Yes.
Or do you mean Alien?
No, I love Aliens.
Okay, cool. I thought Alien versus Predator was fine.
Like
the second one was garbage, but like Requiem.
I haven't watched Requiem. I thought the first one was garbage. Like
that was fine.
Like the guy pulls out his picture on the plane ride there. Like here's my family. Like are you fucking kidding me? It's just like shoehorned in every cliche you can get. It was like really disappointing, and the fact that they set it on Earth really disappointed me because I loved like what I don't know what sucked me in about Aliens is this like. Off in the future, deep in space. And the comics were that way.
In space, no one can hear you scream.
Yeah, there's like space marines, and it was like all in the future. And I wanted an Aliens versus Predator where there's fucking space marines.
Yeah.
I didn't want a fucking Earth right now. I don't the fact that the Predators are here and the aliens are here.
But
and
the Predators are always have not always been
on like, Earth. Well, okay, like, yeah, the Predator's true. Yeah. But the aliens, like Sigourney Weaver fucking worked so hard to keep those aliens from coming to Earth.
But
and like,
was Alien
then they're just here? They're just fucking here with the Mayans? Like, fuck off. No way.
Well, hold on. Now, wait a minute. Was Alien versus Predator, did that take place in like the quote unquote present day? Like 2000?
Yeah.
So Aliens took place in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like that makes, and the Predator move, both Predator movies took place in the present day.
Yeah.
So it would make sense that Predators, like aliens would come here to fight the Predators.
And no, the Predators using Earth. And that's fine. For a long time. But like the fact that the aliens were here.
The Predators brought them here, I thought.
Yeah.
Yes.
It just didn't make sense to me. Like the alien, I don't know.
Maybe. Well, and also given that
it's a bad movie. I'm not trying to justify the movie.
Given
like,
how resilient the aliens are, like if there was one on Earth, you know damn well by the time you hit the future, the scene of aliens that they would have been all over Earth. Anyway.
Okay, no. First of all, if the aliens were on Earth, I don't think you can contain them.
Well, they weren't on Earth. There was like
they were on that Mayan temple.
I thought there was just like a handful that the Predator shipped.
No. There was like a temple that had a queen
in Alaska. It's under the ice. Antarctica.
Right? It's in Antarctica.
Yeah, I remember that.
So, like to me, that the whole premise is bogus. And I think also that the aliens hadn't gotten here in the future. Like they hadn't quite made it here. I like that distance. Like I like the out there this. And I think you're right. Like you can be an apologist about it and say, well, they could have existed with the Predators at our present time. But I honestly believe that they did it that way just to save money.
And
to me, that non-committal, you know, we're not going to commit to this is what tanked the movie to begin with.
Well, yeah, it was just a cash grab.
Yeah.
I don't remember if it came out before or after Freddy versus Jason, but it was very much let's just smash together two franchises. And
but the comics were awesome, dude.
Well, so there's a, if I remember correctly, the aliens, the first thing I remember seeing that was Aliens versus Predator was a video game. It was an arcade game.
Yeah, dude, that game was fucking badass.
There was two Predators that you could be, and there were two Marines you could be, and the Predators and the Marines fought on the same side against aliens.
But presumably that's in the future.
Right, and that's, I think I'm with TJ on this, like, that's what I wanted to see in an Aliens versus Predator. I wanted to see the enemy of my enemy is my friend situation.
Yeah, they did team up. One Predator survives, the Predator and the Black Woman, the main character, team up to beat the alien.
Right, but like I want to see see that in space. Like, yeah, I want to see the space marines with their cool, fancy ass future equipment.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, maybe they're fighting a predator on a jungle planet or some bullshit. And then all of a sudden, oh, we ran into a hive of aliens. Oh. Yeah. Okay, we're going to stop fighting each other now and fight this thing, or else we're both going to die.
I'm sure it exists. I want to see a movie where an alien infects a predator.
That was at the end of the first.
Yeah, that happened. Yeah. That's how the first one ends.
Okay.
Yeah. Is
so that's probably Requiem then is like an alien predator.
Yeah.
Because I know that like they've done the crossover comics, like I think a predator gets in a mutant or an alien gets in a mutant. An alien gets in like a Vulcan. Like when they do the crossovers, it's always like an alien is infecting a thing that is more powerful than a human. What the fuck is that going to turn?
Yeah, I'm subscribed to the current Alien run, and their annual just came out, and it was kind of neat because the annual, I like how they've done it. So the Alien title was only, I don't know, 5 or 10 issues long. It was relatively short. And then the annual came out, and then the Alien title began again with episode 1. So same title, they just, you know, restarted it, but it is sequential. So like what's happening now is essentially a sequel to what happened in the last version. But the annual, there were no words. Like the entire comic was nothing but pictures. And so that the last year's Alien series took place on this frozen planet. Like there's, you know, these scientists on the planet digging into the ice. It's ice, and under the ice, it was an ocean planet. And so, you know, they were going in it, and, you know, they get underwater, they find aliens, fucking, you know, that everything happens that you think would happen. One person escapes, you know, and so now you're in that one girl, she grew up, her mom was one of the researchers, the guy who she grew up, like, he was her dad. I think she knew that he wasn't her dad, but he was actually a synthetic. And so he sacrificed himself to save her, but like, she's like, I know he's synthetic, you know, so now she's gone back under the guise of working with Weyland Yutani, and, you know, because they're trying to get a ship back because they know there's aliens on it, but she's gone back to try to rescue, you know, essentially her, you know, adopted father. And
that'd be a dope ass Metroid game.
It's really cool. I'm enjoying it. But in the annual, it was all taking place on the planet, and like there were these giant, like, for lack of a better word, dinosaur things. It's like if you could mix a whale and a dinosaur, just these giant creatures, and all these aliens that are now free, and like there's these face huggers that go. And you see him going towards these big giant creatures. You're like, the facehugger ain't gonna do shit to that. Like, it can't, like, you know, they're the size of its toe. Mm-hmm. The fucking 5 facehuggers just jump in the mouth of this giant ass thing. And then, like, two panels later is this giant animal laying on its side and, like, 5 different aliens bursting out of it. And they're all similar to it. Because that is one thing about the Aliens universe is whatever the host is, the alien takes properties from that host. So, you know, they can be dog-like, they can be gorilla-like, you know, whatever. So now you have these 5 just massive aliens that all busted out of the same creature. It's just really cool. Speaking of comics, one that you guys, I think, should read once they all get out and I can just plop them in front of you. The current G.I. Joe title, at issue 301, I believe, has begun a new storyline. So along with issue 301, so G.I. Joe and Transformer are both now under Image. They were under, or I should say Transformers was under IDW. So now they're all under Image. Transformers just begin with issue 1. There is a Cobra Commander series that I think is only going to be 5 episodes long, maybe, and a Duke series that is like 5 episodes long.
You keep coming.
They're all crossovers. Issues. Like at the end of the Transformers, the first Transformers issue, there's a scene where you see Duke in a jet flying back to a base and like getting a fight with Starscream. They get blown out of the air. They both bail out. And the guy who's giving Duke a ride, basically Duke's just hitching a ride on a jet. The other guy's, he's not a G.I. Joe, it's just some random pilot, but he's Duke's friend in the story. And you see Starscream just like watching the guy float down on his parachute and then just clap and just smash the guy. Like, I mean, people get flattened, people get exploded. Like, it's gory. It's what, like, a fight with giant monsters would be like if a person got, you know, high-fived between 2 robot hands. And so, you know, so now you've got like basically four different comics that are all slowly going to cross over. You know, I think I won't be a permanent crossover from what I can tell. Like the G.I. Joe storyline is its own story. The Transformers storyline is its own story. But all the Duke and Cobra Commander stuff, while giving you individual stories on those two characters, is also crossing over the Transformers. And it's pretty cool.
There are some crossovers that I have problems buying that things are in the same universe. And I think Transformers and anything else is one of them. Because if Transformers existed on Earth, we'd fucking know about it based on the size of their battles. And I think that if it were to cross over with anything else, like Transformers and G.I. Joe, yeah, G.I. Joe would have already known Transformers existed and probably done something about it. Like Cobra would have tried to team up with the Decepticons already.
Well, so with most of, because there've been some other Transformers G.I. Joe crossovers. One that I really liked, it was set in World War II, World War I or World War II. So like, you know, Bumblebee was a, like the World War II era motorcycle, you know, or something. So, you know, they were all different. The Ironhide was a tank, you know. And,
was it like an alternate universe thing where they landed here back then?
Yeah, I think. And that's, with all these crossovers that I've read anyway, the crossovers happen when the Transformers land. Mm. So like in this current Transformers issue one, it starts with them crash landing. You know, and then so like, and they fight. There's only a couple Transformers that are functional. So like the few that are functional are fighting each other, trying to survive long enough to get Energon to bring the rest of them back. Right. So like in issue two or three, Optimus is fighting. I forget who he's fighting. It might have been Starscream or whoever, but he gets shot in the shoulder so bad that it almost severs his arm. And he ends up ripping his own arm off and beating the shit out of whoever is fighting with his own arm. And so then what happens is, you know, like he's hurt. They can't fix him. But somewhere in the crash, everybody got tore up. And so Ratchet was like, well, we can fix your arm if you're willing to, you know, if you're willing to use it. And you're like, use what? What are you talking about? They had fucking Megatron's arm. So, like, the next scene is Optimus Prime with Megatron's arm and his gun, you know, on his side because that's what they had available. And now, like, in the Cobra Commander comic, like, towards the end, you see, like, it kind of cuts back. He's in Cobra Law and like, oh, you were using its technology in a way. You know, you don't know what it is. And honestly, I didn't know that they had Megatron. Like they had found him, they had him strung up, and they were studying him and using him to try to make new technology. And he's missing his arm, you know. So you know, shit like that. It's been enjoyable. And the fucking Spike Witwicky ends up getting shot by one of his dad's friends because you know the Transformers show up and they're all freaking out and like they're all holed up in a bar with guns, and like Spike runs in and they shoot him, you know. So it's. You know, it's got its dark in there, and I don't know, I'm really enjoying it. So,
but. I mean, I'll read it. Like, I made you read this, and I have no like my Transformers were Beast Wars, and my G.I. Joes were toys that I tried to blow up with firecrackers and pour ooze on and shit. Like, I'd never really watched G.I. Joe other than the bad PSAs that came out in the infancy. Oh man,
Boy Chop Sandwich.
Yeah, you're a little younger than me. That were my big like Ninja Turtles, G.I. Joes, and Transformers were like the big three cartoons for me growing
Ninja
up.
Ninja Turtles just barely hit me, and then it hit me so hard that like I couldn't stop it.
Thundercats was a big one for me.
I did go back and rewatch Thundercats because it was like it was old enough to be on syndication by the time I was a child, and. I never watched them in order because it was syndicated. And there was definitely like two seasons or like there were definitely episodes where like there was Tigra and then there was like a different tiger that was a different color and Tigra was not there anymore and they didn't explain it.
Huh. I need to go back and watch that.
Yeah, the 80s cartoons really fucked me up because most of them were just glorified commercials to sell toys.
They were all glorified commercials.
But so many of them, you would get one or two seasons, and that's it. Like, the toys didn't sell or whatever.
It was like 50 episodes.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but, well, it felt like there were 50. Like, I've gone back looking for shows that I could buy DVDs of and found out, you know, the show that I remember watching all the time. Turns out there's only two seasons and there's only like 12 episodes in each season.
It's like Silverhawk was that way.
They just showed them all the time.
Oh my God. And there was was it Cops? It wasn't Cops, but it was like Cops. They were cops. And they had a dog that was a cop dog. And it had
a robot.
Light. It was a robot and it had a light on it. I can't remember if it was called Cops or not.
I think it was called Cops.
And then Mummy's Alive, but it was Cops.
Oh,
like,
Mummy's Alive. Period. I forgot about that.
Mummy's Alive. Samurai Pizza Cats was.
I hadn't seen that one.
Fucking, oh my God. Samurai Pizza Cats. I think Samurai Pizza Cats is a, like a, similar to the Power Rangers, where it was a cartoon in Japan.
Ah.
And then we got it, and then decided just not to translate the words and make up our own scripts. Kind of like MXS, right? MXS, the fucking game show where they would dub over it on that was on Spike TV all the time.
I don't think I ever watched it.
What?
That's great.
Let's see. What else? Other like shitty syndicated cartoons.
There was one. It was like Lone Star or something.
Yeah, Lone Star was a good one.
Star Heroes like
a space, he was like a space cowboy and his horse was a robot.
Indian. He was Indian. He was a cowboy, but he was like Native
also,
American.
There were
Lone Star
Cowboys of Mu Mesa, which were actually anthropomorphized cattle.
I remember that too. Oh my gosh.
There's one, and there's some. I remember the toys more than I remember the shows.
Yes.
Like Dino Riders.
Yep.
Seen that. There was one, I think it was like Sky Riders or Sky
Warriors. Skylanders. No,
but
not Skylanders.
It was like all the toys
They zipped. And they fucking killed people.
Some of them had zipped, but like all the people, it was basically just like a bungee string coming out of their back. And it had this little clip that you could wind the string up with and clip it onto their arm for when they weren't hanging from strings. Yes. And like, I don't remember that show at all.
There was a female version as well where they were fairies and it was flowers instead of like fucking guns or whatever the fuck the guys were. Because I had one of the, like, I found at, like, the thrift store or whatever, one of the bigger, like, deluxe toys, and it was a dragon that it launched from instead of just a little handheld.
And, again, this is one that didn't last very long, but Centurions. No. Because it was like, there's only three guys, but they wore these special suits.
Yes, I love Centurions.
And
I had the Centurions.
Like, their suits could turn, like, were, like, modular, so, like, if they needed to fly, all this shit would clip into them that turned them into a plane. And
a jet.
They could fly
out. Like, oh, my God! Oh my God, yes. Holy shit.
Yeah.
I had no idea what that was called, but I definitely had one of those fucking toys.
Yeah.
Oh my God, my whole brain just opened up and then, like, took a breath.
And then there's one, and I feel like there were two shows that were really similar.
There were a lot of shows that were
similar. Right, but I so similar that I confused them. There was one that was like
GoBots?
Holograms or something. Like, they were knights. Like, it was like King Arthur and his knights, but their shields were holograms, and like whatever animal was a hologram on that shield, that animal could jump out of their shield and help them fight.
There was a King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table where it was just a
football team that got sent back in time.
Because that actually has a video game.
So like those two, I think, I can't remember if it's the same show or if I get them confused. I'm going to have to Google it too.
Well, everybody's Googling. So we're going to be, not the next podcast, but the podcast after, we're going to be reading Power Rangers comic book. And I know that I was a Power Rangers kid and these guys weren't because they're older than me, and that's fine. However, I watched Power Rangers, Beetleborgs, Samurai Superheroes Cyber Squad, VR Troopers. I watched the Knights of Tir-Nanog. I watched Tattoo Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills. I watched all the fucking shows where teenagers with attitude turned into other people that definitely were not them in fucking costumes. Masked Rider. I watched all this shit. It was fucking amazing. And they were all so goddamn bad. This Power Rangers comic book, I've read it. It's fucking badass. And I think I hope it's badass even if you aren't a Power Rangers fan. But God, those shows were so bad.
I watched
Power Rangers with my Kyle. Kyle loved it.
I would watch Power Rangers sometime because Power Rangers was on the list of shows that came on right after school.
So you got home and it was on TV.
If you were waiting for Dragon Ball Z or something to come on, like you watched Power Rangers because like that's just what came on before the show you wanted to watch for us. Okay, so they are two different shows. There's one, it's called Visionaries, Knights of the Magical Light. Which was a media franchise, consists of a short-lived toy line of action figures and vehicles produced by Hasbro, and animated television series that ran for one season of 13 episodes, and Star Comics published a bi-monthly comic book series that lasted six issues.
mean, it sounds pretty fucking lame.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I forgot about the Scooby-Doo cartoon that came out in the 80s. It was, like, extra creepy.
I didn't know about that one. I knew about Scooby-Doo Kids or whatever. That was my jam.
Oh my God.
Not Lone Star. Brave Star.
Brave Star. Yeah. It
was Brave Star.
Brave Star.
Mask was sense. Another one. I love the Mask had some pretty kick-ass toys. I always
the,
wanted
the
them,
Mask?
Oh, no, Mask. No, Mask.
Yeah. M-A-S-K.
Okay, yeah.
There were a lot of shows that were just a fucking word that was supposed to be an acronym, and then they, like, fell ass backwards into making the acronym work.
From when I was a kid, Scooby-Doo had this weird...
my God, that's Scooby-Doo?
Yeah,
I thought that was a fucking show you were with the keyboard.
No, this is Vincent Price, like, narrated the opening thing.
Oh, I do remember this animation.
And it was, like, a really dark version of Scooby-Doo. I forgot about that shit.
That's
like,
fucking dope.
Like, it had actual monsters.
Oh, my God,
it
had the little Asian kid. I remember that.
Which one? Let me see the picture.
Yeah.
It's not a picture. It's, like, an actual video.
It's just literally going through every cartoon from the 80s.
You know what's fun on a podcast is where we watch videos that we can't play the sound on because we don't get a copyright strike.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, because there's also one, like, there was a, you had the Ghostbusters and the real Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Well, that's, yeah.
Because there was one of them where, like, it was called Ghostbusters, but it wasn't anything to do with Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Because that cartoon came out first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real Ghostbusters, the Ghostbusters movie was able to keep the name because it was a movie.
Yeah.
But when they made a cartoon, they had to change the name because Ghostbusters was already a cartoon.
Yeah, because the Ghostbusters cartoon, it was weird. When they went from the house down to their car, there was like this bone handle that they grabbed and wrote, you know, it's like not a zip line. It's like instead of taking a pole downstairs, they grabbed this bone handle and it was on a rope and it lowered them down.
I forgot about that. I just now am watching Bill Cosby introducing Fat Albert, and I was like, I'm just now realizing
just
how
cringing.
Fucked up that is.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It was a different time. Different time.
Yeah, because the Ghostbusters cartoon, there was an ape, and their car was like an old, like, model.
Yeah, okay, I remember that, yeah. I remember that big ape.
So, ABC had some dope-ass fucking Saturday morning cartoons. They had things that go bump in the night.
Yep,
they had
that was a good one.
I don't know if it was called Monster Squad, but it was definitely just a bunch of fucking monsters that like fought Dracula and shit. It had fucking Reboot was fucking amazing. Reboot was good. It was so
I need to finish
good.
That. I want to see how that cartoon ended.
Well, so like it ended and then they brought it back on like Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
And I never when it came back, it was like, oh, this looks like shit.
Because
it was supposed to look like shit, but
dude, I loved that cartoon Reboot, and then I loved Dark Waters. I never got
Pirates
to see how
Dark
that,
Water?
Yeah. I never saw how that ended. That was good. I don't know if that was ABC, but it was good.
They also had a fucking Tales from the Crypt Keeper show that was just Tales from the Crypt, but for kids. ABC had some banger-ass fucking cartoons for a while.
Adventures of Teddy...
Ruxpin?
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Hell yeah.
The bear that talks.
The bear that you better make sure those batteries are kept up or it's going to terrify your fucking kids.
Yeah, there's I guess there's a new show coming out too. It's like a horror show where it's like it starts off as a commercial for like this bear that talks like it'll be your best friend. And then it like follows them through their entire life. It's like if Teddy Ruxpin stalked you.
What's weird is
what do you mean,
like
if it's light, that's what happens.
I'm watching one right now. It looks like the animation is fucking stellar, and I've never seen it's Galaxy Rangers.
Nope, never heard of that.
How did I miss this? Look
that
at this.
That sounds like a gay bar.
Yeah,
it looks like
that.
A gay bar, I mean, but I want to go there.
Absolutely.
I want to go to this gay bar.
Like I want to take you to a gay bar. Gay bar.
Look, this animation, like, it just blows the other 80s cartoons out of the water.
Yeah, that looks like what, was it G-Force wanted to look like? Was G-Force the one with the fucking bird people? Why are they riding robot horses? Why are they riding robot horses? They have a spaceship.
Why not?
Because they have a spaceship. I just said it.
No, I meant that more, like, metaphorically.
Adventures of the Galaxy Rangers.
Look at this shit, dude. This dude looks like a fucking badass.
That guy is a fucking cop. Like, that...
Yeah. But look at that. His arm just slid up and he's blowing shit away. That's like everything a 6-year-old kid wants to do.
He's light your arm up and blow shit up.
Yeah. This animation is so much better.
It's very good.
Yeah, it's great animation.
But it's the intro. I would like to see like
that's
the skills from the fucking like they reuse backgrounds and shit.
And there's gummy bears. That's...
Oh my God. Gummy bears. Fuck off with that song. It's so good.
Yeah.
Okay, so are we done?
No, we're not done. We're watching these videos with our fans.
We're watching this video. Yeah. We'll put a timestamp for each fucking video we watch in the description of this episode.
There was a cartoon called Adventures of Tom Sawyer. Never watched that.
Yep.
The animation's like Japanese, but like in a Studio Ghibli kind of way. That's cool. Weird. Okay. I totally missed that part of the 80s.
Yeah, I was, even Mission Studio Ghibli, I was late to the game on that. I wish I would have discovered that a lot younger. Well, I take it back. I remember seeing Spirited Away on, you know, on TV, on Cartoon Network or something whenever I was younger, you know, middle school, high school. And then, like, I never, it was years before I looked it up again and even learned about who had made it. You know, as like, I wish I would have been watching that stuff my whole life.
Oh, yeah. I know. I fell ass backwards into Ghibli because I saw, like, Cartoon Network when it first came out would do, like, that esoteric kind of shit where they played, like, Vampire D and fucking Akira and Spirited Away and shit. And then Ponyo came out. I think Ponyo was, like, the first one that was pushed in America because, like, Disney put it out. And my kids fucking loved Ponyo growing up. They watched that shit.
I haven't seen Ponyo. That's one next one on my list. I've been trying to go through all those Studio Ghibli movies.
But yeah, I'd watched like four or five of them. I'm like, I really like this. This was when the internet was still like a thing, definitely popping off. But my brain had not connected that like I can find out anything I ever want to know by the internet. And I just never bothered to look up, like, oh, Spirited Away and Ponyo? I wonder if there's a connection. Or My Neighbor Totoro and fucking Howl's Moving Castle, they kind of look similar. Maybe there's a thing there.
Beetlejuice. I forgot about Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice had a cartoon. I fucking watched that every day. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we're done.
I mean, when we're watching video.
You're right.
To the listeners, I haven't pulled my phone out since the beginning of the podcast, I don't think, to remember that the Morphin Cube is called the Eskimo Vice.
So Mark could absolutely, maybe we may just have an entire episode that is just an hour of Mark summarizing this series.
I mean, I could, but like, I don't want to do that if TJ wants to read the books, because it will take him probably less time to read the books than it will for me to explain them, because they're real fucking easy books to read. Like, you could read, if you are constipated, you could read a book and take a shit, and that's how long it would take you to read the book.
Right. Well, I had a 3-hour plane ride or something. I finished this first graphic novel on that plane ride with time to spare. So I think
this graphic novel is longer than the book.
You know, so I'll probably just continue buying Animorphs and reading them all, using that and continuing on with the IDW Ninja Turtle series, and those will be my airplane comics.
But what if you get caught up and then like there's so many more books? Because like I think these take time obviously to make. What with the drawing and stuff. And so, but there's 54 fucking books, 54 books to read. And they're only on like 6 or 7 graphic novels, man. Like,
I'll just have to wait, I guess.
What? That's unacceptable. I need you to know all the information that I know from your point of view so that I can explain it to you and tell you why your opinions are wrong about it.
Okay.
Have you never been on the internet?
Yes. And Reddit, even, which, you know, so, all right, so here's a suggestion. I messaged you a while back about the idea of developing some D&D campaigns for the brewery.
Uh-huh.
Can we convert some Animorph shit into a D&D campaign?
No. I don't know if you paid attention at all during this comic book, but most of it is science fiction. Not D&D fiction. I'll tell you one thing. I don't like. I was burnt out about running a campaign. I got burnt out, and I could use the stuff that I prepared to like do campaigns here. Like I could do that specific campaign for people here, from like 1 to 5. After playing Baldur's Gate 3, I don't ever want to run D&D again. That game's fucking. I mean, like it's got, you know, issues and it's graphical nonsense and there's a little bit of plot contrivance. It's fucking perfect. That game is. Fucking perfect. It's so good. And like the way they get the party together is such a smart fucking idea that I want to slam my balls into a car door that I've never thought of it. It's so fucking good. And I don't, not only do I not want to run because that exists in the world, but I don't want to ever run again because I can't trust myself not to steal from that game.
No one will know.
Dude, that's my issue with running game. I am very much, I can have unique ideas. Like if we were all going to sit down and try to put a story together, I can come up with some great individual unique ideas. But on the grand scheme, like if I were to come up with something all on my own, I'm going to be stealing. I'm going to be like the fucking dude that wrote Aragorn, you know, and stealing from everyone and making it into my book.
So that's the thing is like, that's exactly how you DM. That's how you write a story. Right. That's how you create anything. The difference is I will just steal blatantly just like, I won't even hide it. Like, oh, here's this purple tiefling named Karlach that's super sexy and everyone loves and you want to be friends with, but also you want her to like pick you up and twirl you around.
Be my muscle mommy.
What do you do? Like, that's the thing is, like, I don't trust that myself to not steal full cloth. Like,
so the nice thing about that is, as much as I would like to play that game, I'm probably not going to get the chance to. And
I'm not running Baldur's Gate.
And there will be others. I'm not running Baldur's Gate. So you could run a game. I'm not saying run that, but you could run a game where you stole heavily from it, and I would never know.
I currently barely have time as it is.
Right. Well, I'm not asking you to do it right now.
Oh, okay.
Also,
because my schedule is going to lighten up when the brewery opens up, and I'm working here on my free time.
Well, that would be part of your duties is run a D&D game.
Gotcha.
Not really.
But also keep in mind, I'm not asking,
just not work here.
I'm not asking you to run the game. I'm just asking you to help write it and develop it. I'll get somebody else to run it.
Fucking, I can be the side guy. Absolutely. Like, hey, I need an idea for something. Fuck yeah, I'll.
Yeah, that's what I like. I want help. I want help.
What you
with
posted
story.
To me was like, hey, TJ and I were talking, and like, if you were going to write a D&D campaign, what would you do? Like, you were trying to get me to feed you fucking ideas for like a weird ass comic that you guys want to write behind my back.
That was 100% what I was trying to do, and I wasn't even really being slick about it.
I know.
I am blown away by how many cartoons I've forgotten. Like, there's parts of my brain that have been dormant for years until I've watched this video.
Shane and I are over here going to get into a fucking fight over D&D. Just on YouTube.
I don't know how many times I'll mention memory from high school. He's like, dude, how do you remember that? Like, I don't remember any of that. I'm like, I don't know.
This is disturbing. I'm sad that I've forgotten so much. I want to cry now.
I would like to develop a house library of campaigns, whether it's one shots or fully long drawn out campaigns, that if people want to come in and play, you know, whether it's me or somebody else who's like a house DM, we can be like, hey, here's run this campaign.
Sure, but like, you know. I think that there is a, I think it would be way better to do that with pre-written stuff that you buy from like independent creators, as opposed to like, because what I just mentioned, I stole with permission. I used someone's thing that they developed. Like when 5th edition first came out, and I just used it and modified it as I wanted it. But it's basically like 89-90% exactly how he created it originally. And he actually streamed a couple of the games. So like no one ever saw it. So it was fine. And my players are not heavily invested in Magic like I am. So they wouldn't have seen it anyway. But like just we could do that. We can find there's a fucking book of one page adventures. I'll fucking point you to some books, like a book that is just, this is a one shot and it's 50 of them. I don't think we need to spend time. If you want to develop an Axe Head Brewery campaign, I can help you do that.
I like that.
Why
idea.
Are we nodding to each other? God damn it, we're bad at this. We've been doing this for a year and a half. We're nodding to each other on a fucking podcast. I don't know what I'm looking at. I'm looking at the door. I expect someone to like burst in and try to rob us. Or something.
Yeah, we didn't mention it. We are recording again from Axe Head Beverage Company. We are a brewery and meadery in Seymour, Missouri. As of the time of this recording, we have just finished cleaning this place all day because we have our health inspection on Monday morning. So by the time we record our next episode, we'll have an update for you on that. And that's one step closer to being open. By the time you hear this episode, we might already be licensed and making beer. So,
no,
dude, that robot, the cops
we could be licensed in February.
I asked you before we started recording.
I said open in April. We would be making beer in March.
You
said open and making beer.
More important,
that was your sentence.
You're right. We would be licensed and making beer.
Technically correct is the best kind of correct. What's up?
The going back to your talking about the cops with the robot dog.
Yes.
I forgot how fucking awesome that cartoon
was.
It looks
really good.
Yeah, like the animation's solid.
Cops look really good.
It's like the bad guys are like exaggerated in a really creepy kind of way. The art's really unique. Yeah. It's like solid animation.
They're all not armed, but the cops treat them like they are. It's great.
All right, this is the end of the show. We'll see you next time.